I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three boys growing up together inevitably leads to competing against one another in the game of arm wrestling. To this day, I don't know how my sons were so inspired. There was no depiction of this in the storybooks we read to them. It was just in their genes to wrestle, to clamber up to the table, put up their hands, lock fists, stabilize the elbow with the other hand, and see who could slam their brother's arm down to win the match. What I failed to realize is that their dad had done the same with his brother, and so he taught them. Alan arm wrestled with his sons. He wanted to test their strength and teach them what winning and losing felt like. Of course, he wanted to show his sons how strong he was, but never so much that he crushed their spirits. 99% of the time, he gave them a burst of his power, only to let them prevail and slam his fist down on the table. He wanted them to win. It was out of love that he did this. He loved to see them show just how strong they could be. He wanted them to feel themselves growing stronger until one day they defeated him, perhaps. All of this was a sign that their father wanted them to succeed in life, to try their hardest to overcome a foe and beat him. He wanted them to believe in themselves and see themselves as winners and not losers. Arm wrestling was a simple, innocent game played with each of them that he always lost. Who hasn't let a child win a game at least once? Seeing the way the child struggles to make the right moves and have the capacity to outwit you, you let them win, sensing their despair that they will not be smart enough or strong enough to defeat you, and wanting the game to end with them being happy and delighted. You admit defeat. You can see where I might be going with this. If you have played games with a child and consistently let them win, if this should go on, winning every game, the initial sense of being a winner can turn into believing that they should always succeed and never lose. Having this validated by the father at an early age can lead to a firm belief that dad wouldn't equally love them if they lost. If a young adult grows to think that everyone is supposed to move out of their way, never make life difficult for them, even contend against them for their position or possessions and perhaps privilege, they will sooner or later find themselves in a desolate place. If this person then translates all of this into a belief that God the Father operates in the same way, they may be deeply troubled by their blessed life being turned upside down. If he is unwillingly brought to the crossroads of some deserted place in the dark of night, he is forced to do some deep soul searching and face some serious anxieties. Jacob is in just such a situation in Genesis 32. The sun sets and rises on this man, Jacob. His story begins with God appearing to him at Bethel, where God the Father says to him, "I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land." The sun set in Bethel as he left there. Now in Genesis 32, we see the sun will rise as he leaves Penuel. Between these movements of the sun, God has been with him, making him a winner in all areas of his life. He has been blessed with a whole tribe of people, immense wealth, and plenty of flocks and land to boot. Everything Jacob has touched is flourishing. He has the upper hand all the time and feels rather good about his life so far. He has won every arm wrestling match with his brother Esau to get to his position of privilege and prosperity. Most certainly, Jacob doesn't want to have anyone challenge him now and take it away from him. So in this part of his story, we are about to see that the threat is real. Esau is coming. All Jacob can imagine now is that his brother is coming to seek revenge, and Jacob can only see that he will lose the contest. and in this he might lose every hard-won thing he owns and cherishes. So at the crossroads near the Jabbok River, he sends his tribe, his flocks, his possessions across the river and stays in a desolate place to be alone and to ask God for the strength to win the contest again. What transpires is a wrestling match with an angel of the Lord instead. The singer of Psalm 17 experiences much the same thing as he prays to God to be delivered from someone seeking to destroy his life. The song he writes is a sustained call to God for rescue, punctuated by all the reasons God should do this. Listen, O Lord, to my plea for justice. Pay attention to my cry for help. Listen to my honest prayer. You will judge in my favor because you know what is right. I pray to you, O God, because you answer me. So turn to me and listen to my words. Reveal your wonderful love and save me. At your side, I am safe from my enemies. Jacob sees Esau as his enemy, a threat to his life and livelihood, and an opponent who drives him to ask God to come to his side. God does come to Jacob's side, but not as he expected. God comes to him as a wrestler and takes him down to the mat for a match. There he is tested to the limit. The singer of Psalm 17 and Jacob face a dark night in a desolate place and are tested. Verse 3 of the psalm said by the singer is exactly what Jacob experiences. If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. These men are tested. These men contest with God during this night, wrestling against their wills to get a hold on God's good side. Jacob's angel gets a hold on him, though, increasing his pain and distress and putting him face to face with his weakness and small-mindedness. He is forced to come face to face with himself that he might know just how much God has been involved in his life and will continue to do so in miraculous ways. Nothing Jacob has, nothing he has grabbed for and laid a hold of, no success of his has come by his own hand alone. And equally, no disaster will overcome him. No lack or need for justice, vindication, forgiveness will be unseen by God the Father. These stories are a wake-up call for these blessed sons of God. What they wake up to is the awareness that they have seen God in the wrestling, in the struggle, in the prayer and pain. At first, Jacob doesn't know who he is wrestling with or even why. He turns his face, though, to the one touching his hip and crippling him and asks to be blessed before he goes. He will walk away limping forever, having named that place Penuel. Jacob's sunrise words are, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved." In the blessing and in the limp, Jacob now knows the nature of God as he never has before. "When I awake, I shall be satisfied beholding your likeness," goes the song of the singer. In lieu of Jacob's story, he shall behold God's face in the struggle. Through facing his own fears, his own desires and hope for the future of him and for all God's people, Jacob saw Esau in the dawn's light, and he was no longer afraid. He had nothing to fear. Esau did not come to arm wrestle him and seek revenge. There would be no losers in this contest, for God desired them both to win, to succeed and have a place in the world full of all that they and their tribes needed to thrive and to see all bellies full, as the psalmist sang. The sun rose on all of them, along with a new awareness of the abundance and favor of God on all who are hungry physically and spiritually. The disciples see themselves in a deserted place in Matthew 14. It is not deserted of people, for there are over 5,000 gathered in this place. It is a place where there is no food for anyone, no water, no comforts, no sign of possible provision, nothing. Desolate, nowhere. Again, in just such a place, God is present in the struggle the disciples are having with Jesus. They see that the sun is about to set and there is no food truck on sight, so sending everyone away seems the best option. Jesus sees no need for that because the disciples can feed them from nothing in this nowhere place. What a frightful moment for them. Jesus makes them face their weak faith and small-mindedness and limited provisions. He does so because this insight will lead to a miracle that helps them to see God in the face of Jesus. Seeing God requires remaining in the deserted place with him, letting the sun set on our finite perspective to awaken us to the Father of lights who graciously saves, delivers, and provides all he promises. Be assured from all these sacred stories that God does think the sun sets and rises on each person in the world. God our Father wants us to be winners and to succeed in having a blessed life. Equally, be assured that between the circuit of the sun are encounters with God meant to try us, inviting us to face ourselves and wrestle with all that is taking place within us and outside of us. The wrestling match may be a crossroads in your life, a place that feels as though nothing good lies to the left or to the right, a place where decisions are required, where taking a risk, letting go, suffering a loss, seems great no matter which way you look. You linger in the struggle, praying or wishing you could. Enter into the struggle. Arm wrestle with God. And know his heart is for you to win. The promises of God are for all who don't give up believing that God is with them. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you in that place of desolation. Seek me and you will find me. Amen.